Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue sharing with you on the subject of how to live by God's manifested power and might. And we're talking about scriptural requirements to be able to manifest the power of God. And we want to go back and look at a couple that we just were finishing up in the last broadcast. Believers must overcome temptations from the enemy to take the word out of their heart. Remember that you have a general spirit of power when you're born again because you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And through the Word, you get the power of God resident in you as it's written in your heart and mind. Now, so this Word written in your heart, the power of God is resident in the inner man. Now, the Word only stays there if you resist the temptation of the enemy. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, we saw how Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. How is he able to take it away? Matthew 13:19 says, because he understood it not. If you do not understand the word, obviously you won't do the word. And if you don't do the word, then the enemy will be able to take it out. And therefore, the power of God will not be resident within you, even though you heard the word. Also, in Mark 4, verse 16, it talks about those sown on stony ground, and they had no root in themselves, and they endured for a time, but then affliction and persecution arose for what? For the word's sake. See, the devil stirs these things up to try to get the word out of you, because the word is the power of God in you. And it said they got offended. Well, this again shows the fact that if you don't do the word, because how do you have a root system established in you? By hearing and doing the word of God. Also, one sown on thorns, they heard the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choked the word, and the word became unfruitful. This is very important for you to understand. You must keep the word in your heart because the word in your heart produces the power of God resident within you. It's an imperative that believers hear and do the word continually. Then the power of God will reside within them. Well, if you don't, and the devil takes it out, you will not have the power of God residing within you. So we need to be ready to resist the devil's temptation as we hear and do the word of God so we will not be able to take it out. Now, another principle that's important, another scriptural requirement, is you must be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We mentioned in John 8:31 how Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So the ones who continue in the word, those are the ones that are the disciplined ones, the disciples. And John 15:8 says those who bear much fruit are also his disciples. Now, how do you bear much fruit? Because you continue to hear and do the word. It abides in you. And so the result of being a true disciple by continually abiding in the word and bearing much fruit is you will have the power of God resident within you. Now, in Luke chapter 14, in verse 26, 27, and 33, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So here the word is saying you can't be a disciple if you don't hate your father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sister in your own life. This is obviously not meaning about having an actual hatred towards them, because we're commanded to love one another, and if we would violate that, we'd be in violation of the Word of God. So this is not talking about having an actual hatred against them, because we're supposed to love the Lord, and how do we do this? By keeping His commandments. Then in verse 27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after Jesus cannot be his disciple. What's the cross we bear? Denying self and crucifying the flesh daily. Coming after Jesus is accomplished by seeking him, hearing him, and doing his word continually. In verse 33, it says, whosoever does not forsake all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Well, to forsake means to depart from, to renounce, to bid farewell to say goodbye to something. And what this is talking about is the fact that you cannot be the disciple of the Lord unless you forsake all. Now, when it talks about the possessions, property, and wealth, this doesn't mean that you're supposed to get rid of all your possessions, property, and wealth. The Bible speaks of goods and possessions and property and wealth. They're blessings from the Lord for the righteous. In fact, if you didn't have any goods, possessions, property, or wealth, how would you be able to take care of your family or yourself? Now, what the scripture is saying is that these things cannot get in your way of being a true disciple of the Lord. You cannot put anything before the Lord. You can't let people or any possessions, property, wealth, goods hinder you from walking in the ways of the Lord and following Jesus fully. Otherwise, it says you cannot be his disciples. Well, we want to be a disciple of the Lord. And remember, the disciples of the Lord, they're hearers and doers of the word, and those are the ones that have the power of God resonant within them. Another scriptural requirement is you must be faithful to do his word to have power within to fulfill God's call upon your life. In 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The word enabled is a Greek word, endunamo. Dunamis means power. And is a prefix meaning in. So this is talking about having power within. And because he had put power within him, that means that he had the power of God resonant within him, which was the requirement for him to carry out the ministry that the Lord had for him. And it said he had counted him faithful. He was faithful to hear and do the word of God. And therefore, the power of God resonant within him, he was put into the ministry. This means if you're faithful to hear and do his word, God will empower you and he'll put you into the ministry that he's called you to. Another scriptural requirement, you must know your spiritual weapons of warfare and operate in authority and power to conquer the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, in Matthew 12, 28, 29, it says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he'll spoil his house? When that 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. What do we use? We use spiritual weapons against a spiritual enemy. What are our weapons? It's the Word of God, which is the power of God in the name of Jesus that releases the authority delegated to us in the kingdom of God. So we do the spiritual warfare by the Spirit of God through acting on the Word in the name of Jesus. Now when it says these weapons are mighty, the word mighty is the word dunatos, which means powerful. When it says pulling down, this is a Greek word which means to demolish and bring to utter destruction. Therefore, our spiritual weapons are powerful through God, and they'll manifest power to demolish and utterly destroy the strongholds of the enemy. In fact, in Matthew 12, where we read about in verse 28 and 29, Jesus casting the devils out of the people by the Spirit of God to bring the kingdom of God into manifestation. And in verse 29, he spoke about entering into the strong man's house. Who's the strong man? Satan. And spoiling his goods. And then it said in verse 29, how can one enter into a strong man's house? The word can is the word dunamai, meaning power. In other words, who has the power to enter into Satan, the strong man's house, and spoil his goods? It's going to be those who understand their authority and also have the power of God resident within them. And through the authority and power of God, they're going to enter into the strong man's house, which is the network of demons within a person. They're going to spoil, which means to seize and plunder his goods, which is those demons that you cast out that are causing the person to be in bondage. So without the power of God, you're not going to be able to enter in and cast out the network of demons. So without understanding, using your authority in the kingdom, you will not have the power to be able to bind the strong man. And as one binds the devil, operates in authority delegated to the believer. And if you manifest the power resident within him, you, through doing the word, you will cast out the demons, destroy the spiritual house of the enemy in believers, and they're going to be made free because our weapons are powerful and we will prevail and conquer against the enemy. Another scriptural requirement is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and 33, it says, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And in verse 33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. through prayer, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filling the Holy Spirit is to be continuous in a person's life. And as you are filled with the Holy Spirit through praise and through prayer, the praying in tongues, all these things cause it to come to pass. The apostles spoke the word of God with boldness, and that released great power. Therefore, we need to get filled up with the Holy Spirit and then speak the word of God that releases the power and puts it into operation. Another scriptural requirement which will help release power is fasting. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. This is after he'd been fasting for those 40 days, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions about. Remember, Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness after those 40 days, and then he returned in the power of the Spirit. Fasting helps manifest the power of God in the life of a believer. Another scriptural requirement is we need to seek to increase and be full of the power of God. In Acts chapter 9, verse 22, where it says, Saul increased the more in strength. The word increased and the word strength are both the Greek word endunamo, which means to be empowered within. So this is literally saying Saul was empowered within to a greater degree, producing more power within. He increased in it. He developed it. And we also see in Acts 6:8. It talks about Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So believers in Jesus Christ should seek to increase in power until they're full of the power of God. And then you will do great wonders and miracles. Well, we have seen some very important principles that we brought forth in this discussion about scriptural requirements to manifest the power of God. We must believe in the power of God, eliminate any doubt, wavering, or unbelief. We must know that the power is not of ourselves, but it is of God. We must also know that the power of God is going to be manifested when the cross of Christ is at work in us. And remember, the cross of Christ is at work when we crucify the flesh and walk in the ways of the Spirit. We must also know that the power of God will reside and manifest in you in the midst of your weakness of flesh. You must also overcome the temptations from the devil so he doesn't take the word out of your heart. And you must be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, continuing in the Word, bearing much fruit, loving Him above all else, denying yourself, and crucifying that flesh daily, following after Him. And you don't let anything hinder you from fully following Jesus as you forsake all. You must be faithful to do His Word, to have the power within to fulfill God's call upon your life. And you must know your spiritual weapons of warfare and operate in authority and power to do the works and overcome the enemy. As you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're fasting and you seek to increase and become full of the power of God, you will have fulfilled the scriptural requirements to manifest the power of God. We're going to continue on this subject in the next broadcast, where we'll be talking about the active, effective operation of the power of God in your life. As I close, I have a book on this subject called How to Live by Manifest Power and Might, available for $7, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. In closing, I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. If you're looking for a church that teaches the uncompromised word and will minister healing and deliverance to you continually until you are set free, come to our services on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.